Hey, I've got two things to talk about, but first you need to know that you are welcome to the best golf podcast that you're listening to right now. My old assistant, Pro Amber's, having a little wriggle in the background. You'd have heard a collar shake there. Two things to talk about this week. One, and that's the title, the leading words of the title of this podcast, is this is an homage to No Laying Up. And in doing that, I want to kick off about golf. Tyrrell Hatton won in Europe, Scotland last week, wearing a hoodie, and golfing internet kicked off. And I'm not happy with them. So let's deal with that quickly, right? Just let's tick some boxes here about how stupid golfers are, especially when it comes to clothing and claiming to be traditional. So Mr. Hatton was wearing a hooded top when he won in Scotland. Good on him, right? It was cold, right? And, you know, even if you didn't put the hood up, that it's like a little back scarf, right? Most of us are a fan of a hoodie in a cold day. Golf went crazy, saying that lots of people say, I wouldn't be allowed at my club because I'm a traditionalist. And I head down with this sort of thing. There's so many different ways to approach this. And all I'm going to point out is I come from the point of they're stupid for saying that. So can I just go through these? If this was in video format, what I'd do is do like a montage, because even Rocky had a montage. And what I'd do is I'd dress in different clothes and put on different voices. But I'm just going to just imagine that as I go this. Here's take one about that. There's a guy who is a professional golfer who now has a nutritionist, a psychologist, a stylist, a fitness trainer, a biomechanic, scientist, advisor, a makeup artist. He has this entire team working behind him. He's using golf clubs that have been over-engineered every way up. He's probably using a 4 or 5 layer golf ball of like NASA level craziness in each level. You know, the science and energy and team that goes into the modern PGA Pro is unreal. And it's so far-fetched from back in the day of, you know, let's not even go back to like 100 years ago. Let's just go back to like, you know, Ben Hogan finding the secret in the dirt, every now and again bumping into a pro he respects and asking for some ideas or talking about golf. Driving himself and his wife around between tournaments. Or sometimes flying commercial. Right, so take that team tech approach and compare it to Ben Hogan. And the thing that's gotten your goat is he's wearing a hoodie? You retard. Like, I'm sorry, right? Golf is not traditional. Nothing about golf today bears any resemblance to the professional golf experience of even 50, 60 years ago. But he's wearing a hoodie. I'm a traditionalist. I don't like this. Right, here's another one. This is my top two. And then there's a third. I'm a traditionalist, so I think you should only wear golf clothes to play golf in. It's very important to me and my fellow members at Knobsbrook Country Club. All right, good on you. Well done. It's good to have values in life. What are golf clothes? Well, we wear a hat. Now, describe that hat. Do you wear like, what, or at least like a it's got Titleist written on it. No, but, you know, take that logo off it. Describe it to me. I can't. It's embarrassing. No, please do. It's a baseball cap, isn't it? Possibly. What is it? It's a baseball cap. So your golf hat is a baseball hat. All right. Well, no. Look, it's functional. Keeps the rain off. Keeps the sun off. Let's not worry about that. I'll give you a pass on that. Okay. What do you wear on, you know, on the top half?
Well, you know, depends on the weather.
Okay, but generally, what's your iconic top half wear?
I can't tell you.
What's happened? Is this happening again?
Yes, guy.
Why is it happening again?
I'm ashamed to tell you now because I feel stupid.
No, come on now. Why do you feel stupid?
Because what I wear to play golf in is a polo shirt.
Ah, after the famous small mint with a hole in from the UK. And is it because that mint with a hole in looks like a golf cup, and so a golf shirt's kind of taking on a slang name of the polo? That makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it's quirky and British, but hey, you know, British is as British does. So that's wonderful.
No, it's more simple than that.
What do you mean?
The shirt was made famous by the sport polo.
Now, come on. So your golf hat is a baseball hat and your golf shirt is a polo shirt. All right. Well, what else do you wear?
Trousers or shorts.
What type? Do you have specific golf trousers or golf apparel for your lower half of your body?
No, not really. I'm going to be honest now. They're just basically chinos.
We have made them in modern fabrics. I thought you were a traditionalist. Oh, shit.
Hey, ask me about the shoes. The shoes! Ask me about the shoes!
What shoes do you wear?
I wear golf shoes!
Oh, really? That's wonderful. Tell me about your golf shoes.
They're actually golf shoes!
Ah, right. That's awesome. And, you know, like, you stole a hat from baseball because they're functional, cool and practical and they look good.
Yes. We type this logo on, they look wonderful.
And you sport a polo shirt because it's functional, cool, you can layer, it's got colour, looks quite smart. It's a really versatile thing.
Yes. Wonderful. I love it.
How many other walks of life have stolen your golf shoes?
Get lost.
No, surely someone else has seen the value in a sturdy piece of outdoorsy footwear that provides, you know, unparalleled levels of stability and traction.
Fuck you.
They're just normal outdoorsy shoes, aren't they, with a Titleist logo on.
It says FootJoy.
Literally, there's no such thing as golf clothes. Do you want me to prove that to you? I've just bought some trail running shoes. Not for trail running. I've bought them to play golf in because they look better than golf shoes. But they're the same thing. So, you've got all these people complaining that Terrell Hat On is not wearing golf clothes to play golf in. And there's no such thing as golf clothes. But even if you indulge yourself, right? Indulge yourself in believing there are such a things as golf clothes. They're a relatively recent invention and haven't really existed throughout golf's history. Because you think back in the day, in the 1700s, 1800s, what folks picture that ancient golfer, they're wearing like tweed and plus fours and they're not golf clothes either. They're what rich folks used to wear when they were doing outdoorsy stuff. And then, okay, come back to your Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer era. They're wearing chinos, shirts, cardigans. It sounds like I'm taking the piss now because You know, that type of clothing isn't really in fashion these days, but it was then. And there's some iconic photos of those golfers of that era looking amazing. But the clothes that they're wearing now are not golf clothes. And we kind of mock people a bit for wearing them now. And that's just a fashion thing. It'll come, it'll go. In 10 years' time, I'm sure folks will think completely differently about chinos and cardigans. In fact, I think cardigans are coming in. My 9-year-old boy just asked me to buy him a cardigan, and I did, and he looks really cool in it, so I think I'm going to get one. But you see what I mean? There's no such thing as golf clothes. So, not only is your traditionalist golfer complaining about the one tiny thing that's actually insignificant change in the world of golf, like he's wearing a hoodie, when all this other stuff is not traditional at all. Then he said, well, it's not golf clothes. There's no such thing as golf clothes apart from golf shoes, but they're so crap, no other sport has stolen the idea from us. In fact, one could argue, as evidenced by me, that actually we stole golf shoes from another sport. And here's the other thing, right? Hello, I'm a golf traditionalist. Oh, wicked. So tell me about your game. Where do you play? What do you play? I play at Knob Creek Manor, country club and hotel and resort. Really? That doesn't sound a very traditional venue. Oh, it's wonderfully traditional. We have mahogany in our pro shop and gold and a lot of dark green. It looks very traditional. And what does it sell? Don't make me say golf clothes again. Okay, it sells golf clothes, right? That don't exist. And golf balls. Does it say anything that harks back to the traditional age, the golden era of golf, one could argue? No. So what is traditional about the way you play, where you play golf? Nothing. It's brand new. It's only 20 years old. In the grand scheme of things, that's brand new. Golf. All right. But, you know, I consider myself a golf traditionalist, but I don't have access to a traditional, you know, one of the beautiful, you know, hundreds of years old golf clubs right now. I play somewhere that's like 80 years old. I think it's 80. And it's 70. 70 years old is where I play. But tell me about the traditional game you play. You know what? Are you bagging like blades and you got No. Joe McPro told me I needed the new Callaway BB21s. So I have them. Oh. So you wear modern clothes and you use modern gear and you play at a modern club, but let you call yourself a golf traditionalist. Yes. Why? Why am I so stupid? I don't know, but I hope this has been an education to your shithole self. No, that's not fair. These people are deluded, and I hope by some small way I can contribute to educating people that they're not golf traditionalists. Now, I feel the need to defend myself briefly, and so I shall. To the 500 of you who listened to my last podcast, here it is. Here it is. I am a golf traditionalist, but I love using modern gear. Okay? It's loads of fun. Modern drivers are fun. It's fun hitting a golf ball a long way. It's fun hitting a modern golf ball a long way because they go far. But I am a golf traditionalist, so I have a vintage golf bag. I've talked about it before. I have a half set of Ping I2. I know it's not blades. I would like some blades, but I haven't seen the ones I like yet. Has anyone got a mint set of TP9s Mizuno with R3 or R400 shafts in? Or head only, obvio. At a price that, like, I don't want to spend as much as I could buy, like, a set of new blades on. That's not the point. I'd be up for it. But I've got my Ping I2 half set. 2 through to sand wedge. I know it would go 2 to pitching wedge. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 being pitching wedge. But then I added a sand wedge in. Mainly because I wanted to, and I don't feel the need the golf police to come to exist. And I have a Joe Powell smoker, wood, which is a persimmon wood with a graphite shaft. Because I always wanted one when I was a kid. It's 4 wood length, which is probably 7 wood length, with 2 wood loft, which is probably 3 wood loft. It's a fun club, right? Can hit it far enough off the tee and can and can just enjoy it and can hit it off the fairway. If I find a Wilson Whale, I might throw that in on top of my vintage bag. I might not. So that's that. Now, as I said, that's something I wanted to cover. Next, no laying up. Fans of my podcast will know I'm huge fans of no laying up. But I rarely listen now. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I did listen to like every episode they ever did for, let's say, 2 years straight. And I loved them. And then my life moved away. You know, I just got busy for podcasts. They'd start doing the video thing then. But I'm not a huge YouTube fan. Like, I just don't like video as a medium. I'd much rather audio, hence podcast. So I just came to an end of a season of no laying up. And I'm having a break from listening to every episode. And I'm enjoying that break. They put out a lot of content, you know, 1 or 2 podcasts a week, which is probably like 2 hours or more of content a week. And really, that's a lot of my listening time done then. So I tend to only listen when something special has happened. And like if Tiger Woods wins at the weekend, which I saw his opening round, so he's not going to. No laying up's going to be amazing. Or, you know, if something cool happens in the PGA, I'm going to listen to it. I'll probably listen to them around the majors. And that will be a real treat for me. I really enjoy that. This podcast exists because of them. Hearing them made me think I want to do that. But I don't want to be a British version of it, like the cut from the BBC tries to be. Hello. I want to be my version of it, where I'm a fan of golf and I share my passion for the game from my perspective. And that's partially why I haven't had so many people on of late. It's because this is my podcast and it's about me. And when organically my path crosses with someone who shares the passion in the same way that I do, I want to get them on. But right now, the people I come into contact with, the golfers, or it just doesn't have to be golfers, when I come into contact with these folks, it more inspires content for the podcast than, you know, I want to get them on. If that makes sense. But today, earlier today, and not that much earlier actually, I watched the No Laying Up video about Bandon Dunes. It's called Bandon 101 Tourist Source. Wow. That is no laying up. I mean, and I need to unpack that, but that was so well presented. That video was beautiful. And what was beautiful about it is it was videos of Bandon Dunes golf course. Obviously gorgeous. I've never been, but you know, I've got eyes on the internet. It's beautiful. It was geeky. You know, a lot of the interview there was with David McClay Kidd, a course designer who's a proper golf sicko, a term I stole from No Laying Up, HV3, when he was on Coined It, I do remember. So it's proper geeky, but properly entertaining at the same time. It's beautifully shot, and it's hard to shoot Bandon in a bad way, although I think I could manage it. But it's not got tour pros. It's just regular guys. Like, a couple of them top. There's a couple of tops in there, and possibly a shank. And you know, it's not done. You watch that, and you don't think, oh, crap, golfer, I can't believe he's gone there, all that money, and he's hitting shanks, I could do better. You don't. You watch it, and you burst out laughing, as if your best mate who you play golf with hit a shank. And that's no laying up in a nutshell. You want to be part of their group chat. You want to be part of their crew. And it's wonderful. And I get it. And I love it. And I'm still on my no laying up break. But my heart is a huge fan. And almost part of me being on a break from no laying up keeps me a fan, because I just get sick of it if I was, you know, twice a week and watching all the videos and all of that. And, you know, I pretty much, I think, unfollowed them all on Twitter as well, because I want it to be a treat. I don't want to be them, but I want to enjoy it when I engage with their output. And I'm not sure any one of them will ever listen to this, so I'm going to tag the fly and flip out of this podcast when I finish it. I hope you get that. And the reason I'm telling you this is, one, do go and watch that Bandon video, because it's unreal, and I would love to go to Bandon. I'm hoping to go to... oh, my life, I've forgotten the name of it. Sweetens Cove. Obviously inspired by No Laying Up. Yeah, I'm probably hoping to go there maybe next summer. Birdman, I'm coming for you. Yeah, the courses they play, it's just they get it. And they get golf in the same way I get golf. They probably gamble in golf more than I'd like, than if they were my friends. But then maybe they just suck me into that, and that'd be okay. But it's about hitting good golf shots, and that's what I love about playing golf. It's about laughing at your friends when they hit bad golf shots, but and laughing with them when they hit good ones. Like, properly being able to, from the bones of your heart, and you shouldn't mix your metaphors, but why? From the bottom of your heart, from your bones, laugh and celebrate with your friend when they hit a good shot or sign a good scorecard. And there's something unique about golf in that, because you can play team sports and you celebrate when your teammate scores a goal, but of course when they win, you quite literally do win as well. And there's something golf is like when your friend like shoots 3 under their handicap and beats you. In golf, you can celebrate with them, and you can hand over your $5, or you can buy them a beer afterwards or a Diet Coke or whatever. Or you can just shake their hands and say, well done. But you're genuinely celebrating with them. You're like, you did it. Because there's something about golf that you know, and they know, next week they're not doing it. Or maybe they will 2 or 3 times. Then the handicap system catches up with them and it's all back to square one. And that's what's magnificent about golf. And I love it. I play golf with a guy who, you know, is shooting 90 or 100. And last time we were out... I think we were 4 holes in, and we were 3 holes in, and he was 1 over. So on the second tee, we both bogeyed the first. I bogeyed second, he parred second. So on the third tee, he was 1 ahead of me. Of course, I got it. Like, I'm a pro, right? And I'm 2-2. He's 1-2. And I'm like, I'm going to have to do something here. He's got the honour, which pissed me off because he's, you know, it's not the first time he's had it. And smokes his drive. And I'm like, oh, no. This is, you know, I see the drive and I'm like, I've got to make par here to have a shot pulling this back. And I hate that third hole on this course. So I hit solid drive and then, thanking the gods, stuff my second shot to a few feet. And I don't remember what he got because I don't care because I made birdie and all was right in the world again. You know, it's that vibe of companionship that no laying up get. They enjoy the competitiveness, but they celebrate everyone's success, but not in some loved up way, because if you fail, you get laughed at as well. And I love it. And it's something I want to share. And I've learned from how I share golf with my friends. That's my homage to No Laying Up Over. There's golf on. It's the Zozo Championship right now. Tiger was way over par when I checked it. No, he's 4-4. I haven't followed the rest of the leaderboard. I'm not sure when I get to upload this just because of some Wi-Fi problems. But we'll be back. We'll be back. I'm going to hit a lot of golf balls next week. So I'll probably try and do a how to get a bit better at golf podcast next time. So look forward to that. I certainly will. I love having gems to share with you that I've learned about the game. Until then, ciao.